Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Now, ask me anything. Sue Leonard is a ghostwriter who's co-authored 12 books, including two number one bestsellers. She's with me here in studio today to answer all of your questions. Sue, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. You might just maybe, before we get into our listeners' questions, and there's plenty of those coming in, plenty of voice notes coming in, that number actually, I should say, is 087 1400 106. You might just explain, first of all, how did you get into this occupation?
I was a full-time freelance journalist, throwing out a feature a day for about 10 years for literally everybody.
Anyone who'd take them.
Anyone who would take them, literally. And my articles were always based around interviews. I specialised in interviewing authors, which I still do for the Irish Examiner. And I also did a lot of health pieces, women's issues, anything. But every article I wrote would tend to be interviewing somebody. So I got very used to...
One-to-one chat. Yes. Which is very different to, you know, maybe how a lot of our listeners might know the work of sort of your general news journalist where you're out and about.
That's
as a reporter.
Totally
or it's a very, very different, kind of gig. You obviously liked the intimacy of really getting to know somebody then.
I loved that. And I did always attract, I was a nurse originally. I did 2 years as a student.
That's quite
nurse.
The transition now.
Well, it was a bit of a mistake. It was 2 years as a student nurse and I then got married ridiculously early at 20.
Right.
Had 4 children. And this was after sort of, I got into journalism as they were growing up.
Right.
So then the crash comes along. 2008, I thought I was made. You could make so much money as a freelance. It was just wonderful. And suddenly everything changed. Crash comes along, papers, less content. And I always used to be in a panic if I didn't have work to do in the morning. So I thought I need something longer to sort of supplement the journalism. And because I had been interviewing authors for all that time, I knew all the publishers really well. So I literally just said, I wanted to ghostwrite. And two of them said, well, we have something for you.
So you might just explain to listeners what working as a ghostwriter means.
Okay, I've actually got my definition here.
Yeah.
Carefully come up with. A ghostwriter is a professional who is writing a memoir or sometimes a novel for someone who has a story but who hasn't the skills, time or inclination to write one for themselves.
Yeah. So you tell other people's stories with their photographs and their name on the book, but it's actually written by Sue Leonard.
Yes. Sometimes they have written some of it. I mean, it's every project is very different. Sometimes it's an 85,000 word interview. Sometimes it's a very, very, very big edit.
Yeah.
And usually it's in between. Somebody might have written a little bit, realize they can't actually finish the book, can't write it, and then they bring you in.
You come in and do the rest.
You come in and do the writing.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay. We have this question, Sue, from Ross.
How much does your personal interest come into play when you're deciding on what to ghostwrite on? Do you focus on sport or do you focus on culture?
I tend to focus on painful stories, health stories, I suppose. Tears on the page, the sort of ones where there are always tears and you're almost a counsellor to the person that you're meeting.
Okay.
So the one that I'm very fond of that I did fairly recently was an early onset Alzheimer's story. A guy, Ronan Smith, who was an actor and he was a manager on Riverdance. So it was a theatre and his father had early onset Alzheimer's and then he got it too. Unfortunately, he died last year. But I got so close to the family. But it does tend to be those sort of painful subjects that attract me. I don't know what it says about me.
Well, it's interesting because you were with us earlier to tell us about how you got into this and you mentioned that your initial occupation or background was as a nurse.
That's
so
right.
I'm assuming the correlation stems from that in some way.
Yes, and I'm a doctor's daughter as well, so I was kind of brought
up
in a medical environment.
Yeah, okay. And then, as you say, somehow ended up in journalism. We have this question, Sue, from Tom.
When doing an autobiography, do you need to interview the guest or do you just do some research? How does that work?
It's very much based on interview. That is the way that you get the voice, really. So I record. What I tend to do is I meet somebody, preferably for at least 3 hours on a weekly basis, and record everything that they say. And then the voice is literally, it's sort of like a magic thing. It gets into your head.
Mm.
And then you can actually be quite creative once the voice is in the head as well. So, yeah, it's very much the bit of research as well, like with the Magdalene women I went into RTE and listened to all the times they'd been on the news and that sort of thing. And they had all written reports to a judge to try and get compensation. So it was a mixture of the two things.
Yeah. So is the fact-checking left to you then, essentially? I presume it is, as the author.
The fact-checking is pretty much left to me.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, of course, is the interesting thing of what is truth. You get two different versions of truth from two different people. And that you have to decide whose truth am I going to go with.
Right, okay. But presumably if you're telling the story on somebody's behalf, then
you're telling their truth.
It's their version.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. We have this question, Sue, from Paul.
Hey, Sue. I was just wondering, what is the hardest genre for you to write in as a ghostwriter? Would you do any nonfiction work or would you rather kind of stick to one area? Thanks.
I wouldn't do fiction. I don't think I've got that facility.
Really?
I suppose if somebody had the whole story, then maybe I could, but I don't see myself as a fiction writer.
Yeah.
That's not to say that there isn't fiction in the factual books.
Yeah. But you then very much like to deal with the facts. That's it. You're recounting somebody's story as opposed to.
Yes. Having said that, I mean, for example, when Mary Fleming, I knew that she had met her partner one weekend. And I wrote this scene about them on a beach with the dogs and the dogs running backwards and forwards and her telling him that she had MS. And that was entirely my imagination flowing.
Yeah.
But when I gave it to them, they said that's exactly how it was.
Oh,
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know whether to believe them or not.
Well, it's not too far of a stretch, I suppose. You know.
But you say you can be creative.
Yeah. In it as well. Yeah. Okay. We've this question in from Laura.
I would love to know, as a ghostwriter, how do you get in the mindset of the person you're writing with if you have to do that? And do you ever find yourself going method when it comes to the ghostwriting experience?
I think in a sense it is method. I definitely feel that I've jumped into somebody's head and that their opinions become my opinions for that writing of the book. I think this is why it wouldn't suit a journalist with strong opinions, because you have to literally jump into their head and go along with what they believe and what they feel.
So it's a certain type of journalist that can do this?
I think so.
Yeah. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number if you have a question for Sue Leonard today. Have you ever turned somebody down, by the way? That's my question. Have you?
Yeah. Lots of times.
I know you're not going to tell us who, but even though we'd love to know. But for what kind of reason, Sue?
Well, I mean, I do have a website and I get a lot of requests on the website. It's just something that isn't my cup of tea. I mean, I think you have to be very careful who you take on. Another reason is people, very often you realise somebody wants to write a revenge story, that they've maybe got divorced and they want to, you know, you have to be very careful of that.
Yeah, okay. So people would email you or they contact you on the website and say, I think I have a great, you know, I think I'm a good story to tell or something.
Yeah. I mean, most of them have come other ways, from my agent, from publishers. And I've been recommended by a lot of other writers, actually. Claudia Carroll gave me one, and Cecilia Ahern another. So, you know, it's word of mouth a lot at the stage I'm at, anyway.
We have another question, Sue, from Elaine.
Question for Sue. Would you ever get jealous when someone gets credit for a work you've done?
It's a great question.
Well, my name tends to go on the cover of the book these days. When I started out, you'd have to dig around in the acknowledgements and there might be a little reference to she helped me structure.
Thank you in my acknowledgements. Yeah. Only Sue actually published the entire thing.
Interestingly, I mind less and less. I mean, now that I get more, you know, it isn't an issue, but more I do, the more it becomes a job and I recognise it's actually not my story.
It must be very funny, though, on the publication day, you know, when you know, Joe Bloggs, whose book you've written and published for them on their behalf, is going out doing the interviews about writing their book, you know, in an effort to sell it or push it. You must have a sort of a chuckle, do you, listening to those interviews?
Well, to a certain extent, I mean, I do tend to, because people know I've written it, I tend to write an article about the writing of it.
Okay.
So I'm interested. The launch can be a bit weird. Because they're launching your book, but you're a ghostly figure around the place.
Yeah.
But actually, people are usually very, very generous, and I usually do get the
recognition.
Yeah.
Okay. We have another question from Joseph.
My question is: have you ever experienced a big difference of vision on how a story should be told with the person you're writing for? And when you have, how would you best work through that with them?
Not usually in a big way, because I'm careful who I take on in the first place. But there are very often stories that I feel should be included because I actually can see it in a movie. You know, like these.
Yeah.
There was in An Act of Love, the daughter had met her husband. He had put a flower. She was working in a supermarket, and he put a flower on the thing. You know, the thing. You know, the
kind of conveyor belt.
The conveyor belt. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yes, and that was his way of asking her out. And I could just see that in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't put it in. She said it would embarrass him. So there are little things like that. I was doing a healer once, and there was a story that would have made, you know, the trouble with that, it's just so nebulous. How do you make the reader really understand that he's genuine?
Okay.
And there was a story that he had helped the police on quite a high profile case, and he wouldn't let me put that in.
Okay, so sometimes you think there's great stories, there's great nuggets. That's the unpublished version of the book. Great question from this texter, Sue. Ghostwriters and people who use them are normally not well received by readers who find out that their favourite author actually didn't write the work that they've read. Have you ever received negativity when you tell somebody that you're a ghostwriter?
Actually, no, but then again, I'm not doing fiction.
Okay, so is that maybe where that creeps
say
in a
that's
little more?
Where it would come. Yeah. Yes.
Paul is wondering, how do you go about employing a ghostwriter, and how much would it cost to employ a ghostwriter, roughly? He says.
Okay. Well, no good ghostwriter would do a book for under 10,000.
Okay.
And the sky's the limit.
So work off that. That's the benchmark.
Yep.
Simple as that. Another voice note in from Maura, Sue.
Is it hard to get people to open up to you, or how do you go about getting someone comfortable enough to tell you their story when you're ghostwriting for someone?
One of the things you have to be as a ghostwriter, I've always said, you have to be confident about your writing, because there is so much else involved. You have to be a people person. You have to be a good listener. You have to be curious. If you are all those things, people are going to open up.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever told a story, asks this texter, that you didn't enjoy telling? Either she didn't like the people involved, or she didn't like what they had to say.
Yes. The first one I did, and I'm not going to tell you what it was.
Right. Really? Okay.
And in fact, my name was nowhere near it.
Okay. And why? You just maybe, as the more you learned, you...
I just basically didn't terribly like the person. She didn't terribly like me. It was a bit of a clash.
Okay. Is there any type of story that you'd like to tell, but you haven't yet had the opportunity to?
I don't want to do a celebrity. I've no wish to do that.
Even if their story was, we'll say, sort of from the health vein or health perspective?
If their story wasn't known already, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
I think, is there a story that I would like to do? I'm sure there is, but
yet to find it.
I've yet to find it.
Yeah,
yes.
Well, that's okay. So listen, we really appreciate you coming in to chat to listeners today. Yeah, it's fascinating to hear you answer their questions. Sue Leonard, ghostwriter. Sue, thanks a million.
Pleasure.
Yeah, for joining us in the programme. If people want to find out more, read more about you, you mentioned your website as well.
SueJLeonard.com.
Yeah, simple as that. Okay. Sue, thanks again for your time here on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.